Do you like to go in your backyard and see stuff growing, or you're just driving through town, stuff's sprouting? It's good. It's not like growing season in Colorado. We'd have a warm weekend like this in Colorado, and everybody run to Home Depot. They're all excited. We're going to start planning because we'd had winter. Winter's this thing where it gets cold. And so all the experts would be like, don't plant till Mother's Day. No, we don't care. We're going to Home Depot. It's 70 degrees. We're planting. And then sure enough, April 20th, it would snow. And then all over town, just these dead flowers everywhere. But here, it's really growing season. And so we decided here at Rose Drive that it's spiritual growing season as well. Spiritually growing season. And so that's what we're going to talk about in this series for the next 4 weeks. We've just come off of Easter, and Easter's awesome. Thanks for being here. But a lot of times at Easter, what happens is we reckon with our faith, right? So for some of you, that might mean sort of restarting, recognizing that, you know what, I do believe in Jesus. Or for the very first time, somebody might have said, you know what, I do. I believe in the resurrection. And the question that often comes up is, so now what, right? What's next? What do I do next? How is it that I get closer to God? And that's what we really mean. When we talk about growing, when we talk about growing spiritually in this series, that's really what we're talking about. Growing closer, getting closer to God. Having our relationship with God advance and grow and us become closer to Him. And so, how do we grow closer to God? Does it just take time? Or does it just take effort? Or do you have to go to Africa or to the Amazon or something? I mean, that'll help. Don't get me wrong, but you don't have to. How do we grow closer to God? And so today, perhaps you're facing something. Maybe there's a new baby, or maybe there's a new job, or maybe a medical diagnosis that's making you say, you know what I do? I need to grow. I need to get closer to God. That's what we're going to talk about for the next few weeks. How does that happen? How can you grow closer to God? And I'm hoping you'll come away with some encouragement, but also some equipment, some things to really help you move in that direction. So this morning, what I'm going to focus on is really the key agent, the essential element of spiritual growth. The one thing you have to have happening in your life if you want to grow spiritually. And as we get there, as we move in that direction, we're going to start with a little bit of motivation. And it's around this question. Did you know that God wants you to grow? Did you know that? Do you know that God intends for you to grow spiritually, for you to get closer to Him? Did you know that? In fact, God has designed you to be in a relationship with Him where you grow. We're going to be in John chapter 15 today. So if you have a Bible, you can turn there, or you can follow along. We'll have it up on the screen. John chapter 15. And in this passage of Scripture, it's a big passage. Several chapters that really contain Jesus' final words to His followers before He was arrested and crucified, buried, and risen. And in the middle of that passage, listen to the way Jesus describes, the way He pictures our relationship with Him. And because Jesus and the Father are one, this is also a picture of our relationship with God. Same thing, right? So notice what He says. This is verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. You see that? Throughout this chapter, Jesus uses this picture. I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. And apart from me, you can do nothing. So do you see how Jesus begins to describe a relationship with Him in terms of, this is an agricultural metaphor. He's talking about vines and branches. When we hear vines and branches, we probably most often think of trees and branches. He's talking about the vineyard, where the main stalk or stem of the grape would then have shoots or branches that grow off of it. It's the same thing. It's a picture of growth. So Jesus says, I just want you to get this straight. I'm the vine, you're the branches. remain in me, meaning stay connected to me. And the reason for that, the purpose of that staying connected, is so that you will grow. Because what are branches supposed to do? They're supposed to grow. In fact, grow to the point, Jesus says, where they produce fruit. That's what they're supposed to do. Okay? So yesterday we're in the backyard, and Ann says, hey, come over here. Look at this tree. It's not doing anything. Now, the rest of our trees have embraced spring. Okay? They know it's growing season. They're happy, right? They're like, happy! Branches! Buds! Sprouts! But we have this one tree that's not happy, and it's just kind of like this, right? So it's not doing anything. That's not a good thing, right? Why? Because the branches are supposed to grow. They're supposed to produce fruit. That's their purpose. And that's the picture Jesus is using here to describe our relationship with him. So remain connected to me. Be connected to me so deeply that me, through you, causes growth. And the ultimate end of that growth is fruit, bearing fruit. So when we talk about growing spiritually, it's the same as talking about growing spiritual fruit, because that's the end. That's the picture of what it means for us to grow spiritually or to mature spiritually. So that's the way Jesus begins to describe it. It's God's intention. It's the way it's been designed. It's what he has for you, growing spiritually. And he pictures it in this picture of the vine. Now, good things happen when we enter into this life of growing spiritually. When you produce spiritual fruit, really good things happen in your life. Now, I know some of us are perfectly content to stay right where we are. We say, well, you know what, I believed in Jesus, I did Easter, and I'm good. I don't really need anything else. Despite what Jesus says, I'm just good right where I am. And that makes me think of this week. We went to the Central Coast. On the way home, we stopped in Santa Barbara to go to the beach. Okay, and there we are walking on the beach in Santa Barbara. Beautiful day at the beach, right? There's blue sky, there's blue water, there's this cool wharf, and there's yachts, and there's people parachuting or something over the ocean. It's a cool day, beautiful beach, and we're walking along the beach. Here's the ocean. We're walking along the beach, but here at this point, between the beach and the parking lot, it goes the ground goes like this, right? It's low, and down there it's kind of all muddy, and there's like, you know, algae growing, and there's pipes and stuff, but it goes down like that and then up to the parking lot. So we're walking along the sand, enjoying this beautiful beach, and I look over here, and there's people playing down there. Like, they're all sort of running around in the mud. And I said to Austin, who was there, I said, hey, don't you just want to tell them to come up here? It's way better. You can't see it from down there, but there's a whole ocean out here. And that's sort of what spiritual growth is like. Listen, it's better. It's better when you grow spiritually. God does and has amazing things for you, in you, through you, when you commit to this life of growing. Because that's how he designed you. He designed you to be a branch that grows and produces fruit. And in verse 7, Jesus points to one of the really good things that happens in our lives when we grow spiritually. He says it this way. So if you remain in me, right, if you be a branch, let me be the vine, you be the branch. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Wow, right? Okay, now, before you start thinking about the vacation home that you want or the boat, before you think about that, let me tell you what he's talking about. He's saying, listen, if you remain connected to me so that you grow and spiritual fruit is produced in your life, as you grow and mature, one of the things that's going to happen, you're going to see your prayers answered in amazing ways. Why? Because as you grow, you'll be getting closer to me, and your prayers will get closer to my thoughts. Your prayers will begin to align with my thoughts, and when you pray that way, you are going to see things happen. And that's one of the things that happens when we grow spiritually. In the same passage of Scripture, in John chapter 14 and 15 and 16, he describes other things that happen when you grow spiritually. He says, man, you can have assurance of your faith. He says you can have peace in your heart, even amidst all the troubles of the world. You can face death with confidence. Good things happen when you grow spiritually. And then the best thing is in the very next verse, verse 8. And he says this, "This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit." So, if you want to bring glory to God, he says, this is how you do it. You produce spiritual fruit. You remain so connected to me, Jesus says, that you're like a branch connected to the vine. The result is that you grow like a branch is supposed to. You grow to the point where you produce, spiritual fruit is produced in your life. When that happens, Jesus says, that's when God gets the glory. That's the chief, the ultimate end of your life. That's the best thing that you can do, is bring glory to God. And Jesus said, that's one of the things that happens as you grow and there's spiritual fruit in your life. So you want to know how to bring glory to God? Jesus says, this is it right here. Stay so connected to me that spiritual fruit is produced in your life. And then the last phrase he says, this shows that you're my disciples. In other words, this is how you demonstrate. This is what disciples, this is what followers do. They grow. And spiritual fruit is produced in them. So God intends you, he wants you, he's designed you to grow spiritually. And he says, you do that by staying so connected to me, Jesus said, that I'm like the vine and you're the branches, and that's how the growth happens. But that brings us to a question, and the question is, well, okay, how exactly does that occur, right? How do you remain so connected to Jesus when Jesus isn't here? And that's the same question I think that the disciples had. Because when we back up in the same section to John chapter 14, we see him say this. Well, he's just told them, I'm going to leave you. I'm going to die. I'm going to go. And I'm sure they had that same question. Wait a minute. How are we going to remain connected to you when you're gone? And this is what he tells them, and he tells us as well. I'm not going to leave you as orphans, he says. I'm going to ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. So Jesus says, I'm going to leave. I have things to do. I'm going to be crucified, buried. I'm going to rise. I'm going to return to the Father's right hand. But I'm going to send you an advocate. Do you know what an advocate is? Someone who is for you. Completely for you. And that advocate is the Holy Spirit, or the way Jesus says it, the Spirit of Truth. So God sends us the Holy Spirit, and this is the means, this is the way in which we stay connected to God, to Jesus, in such a way that spiritual fruit is produced in our lives. So, you know, when people talk about having Jesus in their hearts, this is what they really mean. The way that God, or the way that Christ, is present in our lives, in us, is through the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. It's not a spiritual force, but a person, a divine person, equally God. And it is in the person of the Spirit that God enters your life. And this is going to be the means. The Holy Spirit is the primary agent, the actuator, the make it happen person of spiritual growth in your life. So, The key element to you growing spiritually is the work of the Holy Spirit within you. And that begins when the Spirit comes into your life as you believe and enter into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Without the Holy Spirit, there's not going to be growth. That's what he wants. So it's important to stop here and say, listen, if you're like me, you are prone, perhaps, to think of spiritual growth in terms of effort, right? okay, I'm supposed to grow spiritually. That means I better get with it, right? In order to grow spiritually, I'm going to have to get smarter. I'm probably going to have to learn some foreign languages or something, or memorize all the details in the Bible. Or I'm just going to have to work really, really hard at being better. Or probably if I signed up for a few more committees or something, then I would grow spiritually. But I want you to hear today, if you don't hear me say anything else, I want you to hear this. Spiritual growth, the production of spiritual fruit in your life, it's not all about your effort. It's not about you trying, doing, or being more. And listen, that's good news. It's really good news. When we lived in Missouri, everybody's house was on a hill, right? Everybody's yard was on a slope. And so mowing the lawn was a pain, right? It's all hills everywhere. And we had a neighbor, and her name was Dory. And every week, she'd be out there mowing her lawn. Now, she had a power mower, so she would start that thing up and proceed to mow her lawn, but she would not engage the drive, right? She wouldn't engage the power. And so every week she'd be out there up and down these hills, sideways, across, and this is Missouri, so she's, you know, all red in the face and just drenched in sweat. And one day I said, well, you know, Dory, you could just engage the drive. And it'd be a lot easier. And she said, oh, I know, I just need the exercise. So I'm like, well, all right, I'm just going to go over here and do it the easier way. Spiritual maturity is like that. God has given you a tremendous spiritual resource, a spiritual power that is a person, the person of the Holy Spirit in you. And it is the Holy Spirit that drives the process of maturity. And when we attempt to grow closer to God or to produce spiritual fruit without the resource of the Spirit, it's just like we're just mowing uphill the whole way, right? So God's given you this resource. He's empowered you with the Holy Spirit to help you grow. And look what he says. I'm going to give you the Spirit. Look what the Spirit does. This is Galatians chapter 5. This is Paul's way of talking about it. Uh-oh. Thank you. But the fruit of the Spirit... Wait, let's just stop right there. What did Jesus say? Stay so connected to me that what happens? You produce fruit. What does Paul say the Holy Spirit does in your life? Fruit. Right? Jesus said, you remain in me so that you will produce fruit. The way that you remain in me, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And Paul says, you know what the Holy Spirit does? Produces fruit. So the spiritual fruit that you're seeking, that you want in your life, it comes at the work or comes by the work of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit in your life is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So this, when the Spirit comes into your life and drives this process of spiritual growth, this is the goal. This is what God is trying to do to you. This is what spiritual fruit looks like. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is what God wants to grow in your life. This is what spiritual maturity looks like. And the way that it happens is that the Spirit of God produces fruit. The Spirit's the activator of this growth. So Jesus wants you to bear fruit. He sends you the Spirit. The Spirit's at work in us, producing fruit. Now let's talk for a minute about how that actually happens. I mean, let's really get down to the nuts and bolts of what happens. How is it that the Spirit then produces fruit in your life? And the key is in something that Paul says a few words before this passage. He begins this discussion of the fruit in the Spirit by saying these words. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. So when the spirit comes into your life, the spirit immediately engages in this conflict. Every believer, Paul says, in this present life, he or she is engaged in this conflict. And Paul describes it as a conflict between the flesh, or we sometimes say the sinful nature, and the spirit. And the flesh or the sinful nature is essentially your propensity, your tendency to go your own way, to go in a direction that is opposite of God. It's you and I really left to ourselves, right? Okay, so if you're married, you know what happens when you leave him home by himself? Yeah, nothing good. That's kind of what Paul's saying. Left to your own devices, you're going to pursue things that are in the opposite direction of the things the Spirit of God is working to produce in your life, which is love, joy, peace, forbearance, and all of that. And so Paul says you have this conflict. It's the Spirit of God in you then who goes to war and overcomes, crucifies, Paul says, puts to death this flesh or this sinful nature in you, paving the way for the Spirit to be able then to produce fruit in your life. Because as long as these two are in this relentless, unending conflict, when you give in to your flesh or you allow your sinful nature to rule and reign, the life of God gets sidetracked or sidelined in your life. But when the work of the Spirit is allowed to hold sway, then the life of the flesh is diminished. And that's when spiritual fruit gets produced. And so Paul says, listen, you need the Spirit at work in your life because it is the Spirit who engages in this conflict. And it's so unrelenting. I like the way he says it at the end. They are in conflict with each other. So you are not to do whatever you want. I love that. So you're not, don't just give in to your natural tendencies. You are to, as he says earlier, walk by the Spirit. Because that's his work and his role in your life. So we grow closer to God when we're empowered by the Spirit who produces spiritual fruit in us by engaging in this conflict, overcoming and producing fruit. So that's pretty good news. But you might be thinking, okay, I have to do something, right? I have to play some part in this process of spiritual growth, and that's true. But because it is the Spirit of God at work in our life, producing spiritual fruit, our role, our job, becomes cooperating with the Holy Spirit, responding to the work of the Spirit in our lives. That's why Paul says that. Walk by the Spirit. Let your life be guided and directed and run in cooperation with the Spirit and what the Spirit is working in your life, because that's what the Spirit does. So we cooperate, we walk in that direction, we go where he goes. Down at the end of this passage in verse 25, he says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. That's a description of our lives working then in cooperation to what God, through his Spirit, is working in our lives. Because when we're left to our own devices, we don't always go about it the right way. You might, for instance, be overcome with passion and zeal for God, and you might decide, I need to do something about that. And so you think about it for a while, and you decide, you know what? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to save Asia. That's what I'm going to do. And the Spirit whispers to you and says, hey, why don't you start by loving your neighbor? And you say, no, my neighbor's a jerk. I'm gonna save Asia. Right? The Spirit, when we learn to listen and cooperate with him, he guides us in the directions that we need that are going to be the ones that where he produces spiritual fruit in our lives. We end up closer to God as a result. And so a lot of what we're going to be talking about for the next 3 weeks is really the big ways, the primary ways that the Spirit of God leads us, guides us. The ways in which we cooperate then with the Holy Spirit. So we're going to talk about the Scriptures, the Bible, the Word of God. That's one of the primary ways that the Spirit of God guides us. He uses his words, his counsel, to move us, guide us in directions that lead us to cooperating with him and then growing fruit. We're also going to talk about prayer. We can hear the Spirit's voice. We can respond to the Spirit in prayer. So we'll talk about that. And then finally, we'll talk about community. You know, God uses people. Specifically, he uses his people to shape you, to grow you, to cause the production of spiritual fruit in your life. So those will be the things that we talk about. But God guides us through his Spirit in a very intimate and personal way. And so today, what I really want to encourage you is in this direction. Listen, we need to commit to growing season. We need to believe and acknowledge that God wants us to grow spiritually. And the way he describes that is by producing spiritual fruit. No matter where you are, if it's day one with God, or you have been doing this so long you don't even remember day one with God, wherever you are in that spectrum, God's plan, his intention and design in your life is for you to continue to grow spiritually, right? So we have to commit to that. We have to recognize that that comes not merely by our effort, by our working hard. It comes by the power of the Spirit in our lives. And so our task is to learn to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. The things that we are asked to do, the steps of faith that we take, the stuff we resist and stop doing, those are all at the beck and call of the Spirit guiding us in the direction of spiritual fruit. And so we have to commit to this process of getting to know the Spirit. So let me give you some practical ideas, some thoughts to just take away today to begin this awareness of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit in your life. Okay? The first one is this. Set aside a few minutes each day this week to listen to God and to do that through his word. If you have a regular way of reading the Scriptures, just ask God to lead you and guide you as you read. If you don't have a regular habit of reading the Scriptures, it's a great time to begin reading the Scriptures, asking God through his Spirit to speak to you, to guide you, to apply it to your life. So that's one thing. The second thing is, this week you can get together with some other Christians and you can wait on the Lord together. You can wait together in prayer about some concern. Maybe it's a personal concern or a concern for your church family or a concern for your community. And instead of just telling God what you think, wait on him, ask him to direct your thoughts and prayers about it. Same thing, when you pray for others this week, if you have somebody in your family or somebody that you know that is in need, as you pray for them, don't just dive in and pray. This week, stop and listen. Ask God how he would have you pray for them. And let the Spirit speak. Because as we persist in these practices, we learn to hear the Spirit's voice. A few weeks ago, I told you the story about how one time Ann and I, we got this definite impression, thought from the Lord, that we were to sell our house. And it was a little strange and unusual. But it came as a result of us learning to some degree to listen, to understand about how God speaks to us, and we could recognize and say, this we think is the voice of the Spirit. And so we asked others, we tested that, we tried that out, and thought, yeah, that's what's happening. Well, that's the process I want us to begin. I want to encourage you on. So this week, as you pray with others, or as you sit with your Bible, or as you talk to God, pause, give space, and begin to learn to listen and recognize the voice of the Spirit. I'm going to ask us to pray together this morning, okay? And as we do, I'm going to give you some instructions. So will you join me? Will you join me together as we pray? So So take a few moments right now and listen to God. You know, if you have a pressing concern or problem in your life, just turn that over to Him, just in this moment. Lift it up to Him. And remember that the guidance of God through His Holy Spirit, that's His work. It's not your work. You just need to listen for it. God knows how to reveal Himself to you. So take note in these couple of moments of silence. Take note of any scriptures or any thoughts, any promptings, any ideas that come your way. Just jot them down so you can reflect on them and discern whether that's the Spirit's direction. So let's just take a moment in silence now. Lord, we are so grateful that You've created us to get closer to You, and that You give to us the Holy Spirit to accomplish that. Teach us anew to listen, to recognize the voice of the Spirit so that we can cooperate. I'm grateful for the ways that You have worked in so many of us. I'm grateful for even stories from years ago about selling houses and other things. But today, God, we don't want to depend on the past. We want to hear You today. So You know each of us. You know our needs and our questions and our concerns. You know the forks in the road that we're facing. You, of course, know how You want us to grow, what fruit You're working on. And so we pray and ask that You would increase our ability to hear so that we can cooperate. We confess this morning that we believe in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we welcome the Spirit's work in our life. In Jesus' name.